Good morning. This is Robert Murphy, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning, and welcome to Too Much Scrolling for February 7th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information this week. Gentlemen, next Tuesday, it's Valentine's Day. If nobody's told you yet, get on the phone now and start ordering some stuff because you got 1 week from today to get it done.
Oh, yes. All the good things you can order. Candy.
Flowers.
Champagne.
Are there Champagne. Balloons? Are there Valentine's balloons?
There are balloons.
Okay.
There are balloons. You can
candles. We need some candles.
Scented candles.
Set the mood.
And lots of butter rub to
dear.
Put all over your body. There you go. The hot oils. You know, all the things. Bath salts. All the good things.
I'm pretty sure bath salts are code for some sort of drug.
That is.
That's a different thing.
No, so my wife obviously is going to be very excited by all the things I get for her.
I got my wife a 15-year-old because that's my son's birthday next Tuesday. So happy birthday, Josh! He's 15. He's going to start driving me around. So I'm happy.
Well, I just also want to mention that we had a great time watching the big game last Sunday, and that team that you picked to win obviously did. And those commercials were so great.
Oh, I love the big game and all of the men that collide with the other men and make the ball go in the direction that it's going.
And that team you picked, the insert name here,
Denver Broncos. Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons where they recorded a conversation about the Super Bowl?
They put the
mug in front of their mouth so that they could record this months in advance. I wonder what it's like to record a podcast before it actually goes out. You wonder why we don't talk about sports?
That's why we have movies, my friend.
It was a great game, and boy, was that team ever victorious. I can't believe it.
All the things that we could have seen.
Good. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Speaking of things that we could have seen, you got a chance to see The Love Witch.
The Love Witch. You know, and this is the Valentine's Day special right here. This is a movie that came out after Halloween last year. Mm-hmm. So it was released in theaters. Mm-hmm. This is a very unique picture. I'm going to say I watched off iTunes, through the Apple TV.
Okay.
I'm not going to suggest this film. I'll just make it very clear on this because most of you will not enjoy it. that certainly sounds like something not giving a good review. But let's go ahead and talk about it. And I'll tell you why it is interesting. And why it's just an odd film.
Okay. It is an art sort of film. It is a special version of the idea of creating a movie because the producer and director is very into making the look of this movie. And this movie is a lot about looks.
Truly. It is one that is visually appealing. First of all, our main character is absolutely, she's gorgeous. I think she's about 25 years old, which, youth is beauty. There you go. We'll just go ahead and say that. But it starts out, there's a few things that are striking about it. She's driving this 60s Mustang on the highway. She gets stopped. She's smoking cigarettes. She's wearing a red dress. She's got red lipstick. She looks over. Her cigarettes are put in a special cigarette holder. We don't really see smoking on the level that they see smoking.
So we're not sure of time period right off the bat in this movie.
Yes, you're right. The time doesn't really show up, and then you realize it's today. So,
but it certainly looks like a 1960s style of filmmaking. We're seeing here Technicolor and 35mm film being used for this.
And that's very striking because mm-hmm. the colors pop off the screen. It's very important to recognize that. The person who lets her into the apartment they're going to go to, she shows up in a modern car. It was probably a 2010 automobile.
But her costume is very 60s.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So we get this playfulness where it jumps around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The vibrant room that will be her apartment has these tarot cards written all over it. She is the love witch. She is a witch. There is nudity in this film that is, it's not necessarily sexual, but there are lots of sexual situations in it. So this is rated R for a reason, and it kind of plays like an art house film,
mm-hmm.
but it also, the delivery of the lines is very George Lucas-like.
Really?
Yes.
And that's usually not a positive comment.
Well, I say this is a very much of a movie that could have played back in the 60s or 50s on how they'd make that delivery. Eventually, the love witch ends up meeting a college professor, and they go out to the cabin in the woods because she loves nature. He's driving like a 1970 Osmo Buick, you know, that type of big monster car.
I don't think that's a thing, but okay. I know what you mean.
The Oldsmobile, the
Those
Buick.
Those 70s, yes.
They all look the same.
Sure.
Imagine that GM built all these
cars. GM built all these cars and just gave them different names.
So that part is enjoyable. One of my favorite scenes to set this up was she's being introduced to her apartment, and they walk into it, and it's these vibrant colors. There's these royal blues and purples and red, and it's been set up like what you could imagine a witch's laboratory.
Groovy laboratory.
Yeah, so it's kind of, there's tarot card pictures everywhere.
Makes me think of Rocky Horror Picture Show, that sort of set dressing.
Exactly. It's very much like that. So take George Lucas dialogue, take a little bit of Batman 1966, okay. Adam West kookiness, and you've got at least a backdrop to sort of how this kind of plays out. And then, you know, throw in the Renaissance Festival, because we'll get to that in a few minutes. This is truly interesting. They get up to the apartment. She goes, hey, just give me a minute. Let me freshen up. I'm hungry. And she goes, well, there's a tea room right around the corner. Well, the next scene, they're at the tea room. So she freshened up and only took a minute. The love witch is in a totally different outfit. She looks like she's like Audrey Hepburn from The Lady in Spain.
Or The Breakfast in Tiffany's.
Maybe a little bit of
Big
that.
Hat.
Great big hat.
Okay.
High-collared pinks and stuff. This tea room is like an old building that probably has 20 or 30 tables in it. It's full of women. The waitress, who's dressed like a 60s hostess with a black dress on and the mini skirt and stuff, brings over the plate with the dainty sandwiches on it and the little cakes. And there's a person up on the stage playing a harp. And that's the way I said it. It kind of looks like the old Batman sets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about love. They're talking about how to please a man sexually, to make sure that he's happy. You know, and all the time you're kind of watching this going, wow, this is kind of interesting.
What's happening in this movie?
So
you nice lady.
That's right. Eventually you learn there's two groups that live in this small town. They're the regular people, and then they're the witches. There's a large group.
So the muggles.
That's right.
And the witches.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
The muggles and the witches. There's nudity in this film. There are sexual situations in this film. There is Tarantino oddness in this film.
Okay.
There's a scene where the gentleman, he's been given a love potion because he's a weak man. He cannot get her out of his mind, and he eventually dies from this love that's overpowering.
So that was probably love potion number 6 or 7, not number 9, which was effective.
And I'm going to say this just to basically point this out. She pees in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Or urinates in a bottle is a better way. She puts her tampon in there and then puts some herbs in there. And as she buries her, that's on top of the grave. So there is some kind of potion that's part of that. And that's the Tarantino part of it that just is kind of truly sets this film to, I don't know who this is going to appeal to.
Again, that art house audience, this is certainly a labor of love. The director, writer, and producer is Anna Biller, and she is well known for these really beautiful set pieces and costuming. She does all of her own creation of these costumes and all of the color scheme for the set pieces.
The interaction of the characters is always interesting because there's the strong characters and the weaker characters. What can I say? Eventually winds up at some Renaissance festival out in the woods after they went horseback riding. There's a marriage that takes
place. That's how weekends go.
Exactly. I will say that I'm glad I watched this.
Okay.
I'll say this is, there's an odd part of this that many of our listeners probably will not enjoy. I'm not sure I would watch it again. I don't know if I was in college and I was going to the local art house or something like that, if we would enjoy it. I'm glad I saw it because her use of music in the background is a whole bunch of old movie music.
Okay.
So it's got sort of there's a playfulness that's throughout this whole thing. So I don't know if she's winking at us or if there's something really going on. I will say that this was interesting and an experience. My wife would not have enjoyed watching this.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to sit down and watch this one with my wife for Valentine's Day, but I am intrigued by your description. I love independent film. I love a filmmaker who makes a film that's a passion, that's something special and different. And this, the way you're describing it, this one's different.
It's like a 60s pulp dirty magazine, you know, type of thing.
That seems like what they were going for. The choice of Technicolor and 35mm film, they were definitely making this on purpose.
Well, if that's not kinky enough for you. Because, you know, Valentine's Day. Steve, is there anything kinky coming out?
Well, opening this week is the sequel to 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker. So if you like the first one, you'll love the sequel.
Well, if you can't get enough spanking in your life, there's an opportunity to watch it on screen.
This movie made $500 million last year, the first movie. So I have expectations that a lot of our wives will go and see this movie next week.
Very similar to The Love Witch, except for this one is a little different genre.
Mm-hmm.
This one certainly has, as I describe it, set up Twilight fan fiction.
That was the original concept of 50 Shades of Grey, was somebody was writing Twilight fan fiction and named
Master of the Universe.
And it changed over to what became 50 Shades of Grey.
And then Christian Grey meets the young lady and they go on a journey together.
Yeah, I have never read any of these books. I never saw the original film.
Of course, no one has read those books, although they have sold quite a bit.
They have sold massively.
Nobody has read these books. Anyway, but somehow they've sold a lot, and some people may have had them.
And I'm sure a lot of people will go see this movie this week. Happy Valentine's
Day. There you go. Make your Valentine extra spicy, and so see 50 Shades Darker.
Or you can come with me and the nerds. We're going to be in the theater next door. We're going to be watching the Lego Batman movie.
Probably the biggest surprise of the... I shouldn't call it surprise. It's going to be maybe the biggest movie of the year so far.
This might be the number one movie of 2017 at this very early stage of 2017. I'll go with that.
Now, the Lego movie came out a few years ago.
Yes, it did.
It was awesome.
Everything is awesome.
In the movie. And Batman, of course, was a star in
this. Yes,
that.
Yes.
And this, the same Batman, he's a dark Batman. He's a brooding Batman.
Yes.
Who takes himself very seriously.
I love the original Lego movie. I really had no expectations walking into that original Lego movie. This one, I have very high expectations, and I really think that they're going to be able to match my expectations, but I'm still a little skeptical before I see this one. Because
there'll be a little beatboxing going on during this, because Batman likes to do some scenes. He likes to drop some dope beats.
I look forward to that.
This is going to be an exciting, fun movie. It's going to be very playful.
I really have high expectations. I will be there, and I will see the Lego movie as soon as I possibly can, because this is my kind of movie.
So, Steve, if for some reason we didn't see those movies, is there anything else that we could see?
There are a few other openings this week. Bigger Than the Beatles is the story of Charlie Manson meeting Dennis Wilson.
Well, there you go, Steve. Steve,
and romance.
Oh, yes.
Comes therein.
So this is about the Beach Boys and about Charlie Manson, about his music experience.
Yes, musician, and Charlie Manson,
and
what he's known for.
Bigger Than the Beatles. So that one will be coming out. I probably end up watching that eventually because it's interesting. This crazy guy who's Charlie Manson wanted to be a musician, and he was within all the hobnubbers of the
LA scene.
Yeah, so he was right there. So anyway, this looks like that's that story. We also have on Netflix, we've got this guy named David Brent.
The David Brent movie. Life on the Road is the name of this. And those of you who don't remember David Brent, he's the main character from the UK version of The Office.
Correct. So the UK version of The Office, he's not Michael Scott, which was the US version.
Right.
David Brent is where Michael Scott was, let's just say he was kind of clueless.
I'd say clueless is the best word to describe Michael Scott.
David Brent wasn't as clueless as much as he was a little more mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm.
He was dealing with the same group of crazy office people and trying to work around that. Anyway, this is a story about his life right now. David, as we know from the previous show, he was in a rock band at one point. It looks like he's trying to revisit that and become and he's also a salesman during the day. So he's trying to, did you watch the preview of this?
I didn't. I never watched The Office. I never found any joy. As much as I love British comedy,
yes.
I never found any joy in The Office because I've never worked in an office like that. And I don't find this appealing at all.
I don't think The Office is really what it's the group of people. It could take place in anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could take place in your dorm room.
It could be the Muppets. Didn't work either.
He could have been the RA of a dorm room. I mean, it works. The dynamics are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the point of David Brent is he is absolutely oblivious to the world around him. He's got this self-importance.
Mm-hmm.
He believes
ego.
He believes in being the big guy, and he feels he can carry it. And somehow we just are not catching on to it. We in the audience are just horrified at his
choices of words.
And basically how he plows through things.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so you get to watch him squirm a little bit. A little bit. This works a little bit like there's something about Mary, the Farrelly Brothers,
okay,
kind of way. Watching the guy squirm. And if you found enjoyment of that, I have, when I say low expectations, I felt like the show was finished. But that's okay. We can revisit this guy.
And that's the thing about British shows. British shows have a finish, and United States shows, boy, they can go on forever until they get canceled because they're so awful by the end.
The UK Office was two seasons, and there was a Christmas special.
Yeah.
All right, so then if you were watching television, by the way, that was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're watching regular television, maybe cable television.
Yep, there's a cable show coming out this week called Legion. This is the story of a mutant, an X-Man, one of those other characters from the X-Men that's not played by Hugh Jackman.
Now, we're assuming if it's based on the comic character, he is the son of Professor X.
Yes.
So if you watch any of the X-Men films, he could be the bald guy. By Patrick Stewart, or he could be McAvoy, who has hair,
right?
So we don't know which one he's.
I don't know if Professor X even shows up in this. I'm not sure. Fox owns the X-Men for movie rights
the Marvel rights to the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be a character that showed up in a comic a long time ago, back in the 80s, called the New Mutants. X-Men were probably at the peak of their popularity at that moment. Maybe they got more popular, but they certainly were dominating the buying market at the time.
But the popularity of all of superhero movies right now is spawning some of these spin-off TV shows, and
sure,
Legion is trying to catch up on some of that and giving us a little more X-Men in our lives.
And he has sort of a personality issue.
Yes, split personality issue, and each of his split personalities has a different mutant power, and we get to explore different mutant powers in one show that way.
So if you have interest in seeing this, FX is where you'll watch it. It's on February 8th.
Yep, that's tomorrow. We're going to see Legion. At least some of us, those of us who have cable, will see it. The rest of us will have to wait to buy it on iTunes or something. There's always something available. You don't just have to stick with The Love Witch. You don't just have to stick with Legion. There's so many other things. Lego Batman. There's Lego Batman. Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you have continued your study, good nerd that you are, of all the J.R.R. Tolkien novels. You've been reading up on The Hobbit. And you read a book called Exploring J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. This is by Corey Olson.
Corey Olson runs a podcast we'll talk about in a moment, but this is his book. This is what spawned me to read. Last week we did a review of the first part, The Fellowship of the Rings, mm-hmm. from Lord of the Rings. This is what spawned me to start reading that. So exploring J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit is concerning the children's story, The Hobbit, mm-hmm. and Corey Olson basically is breaking down every chapter with a chapter in this book, and he goes through a lot of the poems. And how to read those poems, what type of information you should be taking from those poems. He breaks down the story. He breaks down a lot of Bilbo, so the growth that he has through the book, and how you should be growing along with it. This is the when I say the prequel, it truly is a prequel for Lord of the Rings. Frodo in Lord of the Rings will follow a different but similar growth experience. But we're getting the children's story down right here, the one that you read to your children. Olson is truly a master. I absolutely love this book. Hmm. I would recommend it to any person who has a passing interest in learning about these books, as they were classics when they were brought out. When they first were released, they were considered classics. So, truly amazing.
Yeah, the author is a university professor, and this is part of a class that he teaches. Then you found the podcast that is more exploration from this university professor.
Which would go right to, what, the appetite?
Yes.
The appetizer.
It's all about food in The Hobbit, right?
It is. First breakfast, second breakfast, first lunch, second lunch.
Brings us to our appetite.
Supper and dinner, my friends.
That's right.
All right. So the podcast we're going to be talking is called The Tolkien Professor. Mm-hmm. This is Corey Olson's, and he's been doing this for, what, 7 years?
Yeah. This has been a long running. He's got over 300 episodes on iTunes right now.
Now, you can go online, and you can, I think you can take his classes. Hmm. But what you really can do is you can basically listen to the podcast. And these are basically his teachings during the class. Students are asking questions. He'll answer those.
Wow.
So if you took a Tolkien class, you may read Lord of the Rings. You may read The Hobbit. You read his other expanded stories on this too. And what they're doing is they're trying to glean what information. Why are these stories special? Why do people love them so much? When I started listening to the Tolkien Professor, I initially had watched the first part of Lord of the Rings. And I said, well, you know, this is a classic book. I'm surprised I haven't read it. As I mentioned last week, it was difficult for me to get into it because knowing all these characters and all their backstories seems to be intimidating. Mm-hmm. But by listening to it over and over and over, or listening to people talking about it, you start getting a true appreciation of the depth that Tolkien put into creating this world that really was designed to be the mythology of Britain. Where if you were in Egypt, you had the Egyptian history. If you're a Greek, you have the Greek gods. The North's history, maybe through the Germanic areas. And then you go to the rest of the world, they have their own histories. But this was supposed to be Tolkien's kind of telling a myth-type story, a fake history of the British experience. I truly loved listening to The Tolkien Professor. It's free to sign up for it. Mm-hmm. You can listen to a few episodes. He is a very engaging person. As much as I enjoyed his book, you get the same voice when you're listening to, you know, his writing voice and his speaking voice are very similar. Mm-hmm. And so they work beautiful. You will absolutely grow in your understanding of this material. And through that, I have started reading, and I'm more than halfway through the second book now.
And now you get all of your friends, the hobbits, around you and gather around, children, and listen to Professor Olson and have him explain to you all the history. That sounds like fun. I love this. I love studying literature, and this really sounds like something that I could get into.
Well, you can immediately see that there's got to be a professor who's done this with Shakespeare, mm-hmm. or there's got to be a professor that's done this with Chaucer, or, you know, any number of things. They could have done with Neil Gaiman's book. In fact, I'm part of a podcast that's I'm listening to that's called The Kurt Vonnegut Guys. Mm. It's about Kurt Vonnegut's work.
Okay.
And these are just two guys who really enjoy Kurt Vonnegut. And they are writers and they're comedians. But anyway, they're breaking down these books.
Nice.
So podcasts, you know, you can always find something that's light and poppy, maybe something like ours.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always something to learn. Somebody, if you have interest in, you know, Corvettes, or you have interest in jet engines, you have interest
whatever
in
it is,
history,
it's out there for you.
There is some kind of podcast for you. Mm-hmm. This is just a great example of someone who enjoyed these books so much that he wrote a class about it, and he's now shared it to the world.
That's excellent. Fantastic. Again, that's called The Tolkien Professor. You can find it at tolkienprofessor.com, or just look it up on iTunes in the podcast area. Brings us to our Now the News. Tesla is back in the news. We haven't talked about Tesla on the show for a couple of weeks now. It's
Nikola Tesla.
Yes. He's back from the grave, and he's here to tell you all about power. Tesla is the name of a company now. The company Tesla Motors has changed their name to just plain old Tesla, and they're a battery company.
Very similar to Apple Computers. It's just Apple.
It's just Apple now. Tesla has installed a batch of batteries, huge, gigantic batteries, in a town in California. And with those batteries installed, those batteries take the power from the grid that's not being used, spare surplus power, and they can power 15,000 homes for 4 hours when there's any sort of interruption in the power grid.
And this seems to be the name change is better reflection of what Tesla does.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla is a battery company that makes automobiles, but Tesla really is just a battery company. And the use of those batteries seems to be where our homes are going. The way we use electricity may change a little bit.
A little bit of smartening to the grid.
This is very exciting for us. The future is coming, and I think that those batteries, as they get better and better and mm-hmm. better, you know, I think
it's going to change everything.
I think it's very likely you'll have one part of your home, too.
Yes. I think as battery technology gets better, and it has been getting better for a while now, when we get around the corner of the being stuck where we're at in the technology, you know, when we get past the phones exploding because the batteries didn't work out mm-hmm. right, when we get to battery technology that lets us store energy in a larger situation like a home, mm-hmm. we're going to revolutionize the way that we get energy.
Well, and if you think about battery technology, when laptops first came out, you get maybe an hour out mm-hmm. of them. Now you can get potentially 8 to 12 hours.
Right.
You know, one day they'll be 24 hours. One day they'll be a week. One day they may be a month.
Yeah.
Maybe could be longer than that.
One day my smartwatch, I'll only have to charge it once a month instead of once every 8 hours.
Sure.
Wouldn't that be great to have a watch that you could, you know, not change the battery for a couple of months?
Well, that would be something that would be incredible.
That would be, no one has ever lived in a time when the watch battery lasted more than a day.
So we regress as the progress comes through.
That's right. So all the news that we're not going to talk about is happening out there, but one thing I do want to mention is the FCC has a new leader, and they have stepped in and stopped all inquiries into carriers favoring some content over others. We've heard a lot of commercials the last few months about AT&T offering...
if you're a DirecTV subscriber... You can use your phone,
mm-hmm.
You can use the cell towers
to get content,
and it will not go against your data.
And T-Mobile is making their business model on that because they want you to be able to have whatever you want, without being charged for it.
And you know, Verizon also offered NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
Also without using your data.
And they offered Go90 this week as a part of that. So you can get all the programming from Go90 that you want.
Well, there you go. Who knows what Go90 is?
Nobody knows.
All right. So regardless, there seems to be a lot of innovation that's coming. Who knows what's happening? This is just an interesting little tidbit. I would say just keep a watch on what's going to happen. What we want is content to be available.
Right.
And if you want to download it, to be able to get to it. So if there's ever something that would shut that off, that spigot off, then we should be concerned. But right now, we have players kind of giving things away.
Mm-hmm. Jockeying for position at this point, because the internet's still new. The internet is still in its infancy, and we don't know what it's going to look like
and
in the future.
And what we'll dream up. Come on, baby.
Oh, yeah. We could dream up anything. Like, we could run out of bacon.
There was an apocalypse that was mentioned earlier.
#fake news.
Rifled through Twitter. Basically, people were panicking. They were concerned that we were running low on bacon.
Yeah, there was a misunderstanding, I think, that the reserves of pork bellies was at a 50-year low, and people went, oh, we're running out of bacon. Everybody, to the Jewel!
And so those McRibs out there, you know, McDonald's buys their pork when the price gets right, and then they have the McRib.
Yeah, McRibs only exist when the price is right for McDonald's to put them out. Isn't that an interesting thing? You shared that fact with me, and I'm glad to know that.
Well, here we go. The bacon shortage was wrong.
It's not true.
We have a 3% increase in pork production this year.
Right.
And so
there's more pork, not less.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be safe. But, you know, if there is ever a time for great news, Steve, could you give me some great news?
Great news, Chip. There's another way to get your hot wings that you enjoyed so much during the Super Bowl. You can go to Hooters whenever you want, or there's a new place in Cicero that's like a mini Hooters.
It's like owned by Hooters.
I thought Hooters wanted to get bigger.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, anyway, Hooters is a restaurant that has a unique twist on how they want to deliver their hot wings. And they decided to put together a...
I think that they're opposed to twists.
Well, let's just say that there is a more maybe family-friendly.
Okay.
One where men and women can both work side-by-side delivering those wings. It's called Hoots.
Hoots, and it's in Cicero, Illinois, and probably other locations around the country, too. But you can get your hot wings from friendly staff at Hoots.
It's that interesting.
It's incredibly interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world is progressing.
We
can all work
That's
together.
Very progressive. Hooters is very progressive, Chip.
Well, yeah, boy. It's a place that's always full for Mother's Day.
There you go. I don't even know where to go from there. I think we can say that we have enough information and bacon and hot wings to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think next week is free and clear. It's going to be Valentine's Day. Make sure that you don't forget next Tuesday, February 14th. It's on the 14th this year.
It's on the 14th. Oh, good. I need to write that down.
Make sure you're getting to the jewelry store or the flower shop or whatever it is that you need to do. Celebrate. Let's celebrate love.
What you need is like a big stuffed bunny, you know, something like that.
One of the ones from Costco, those big bears.
The one that you get at the local, the gas station.
That's the one.
It's the one they always wink at. They want.
That's the place that my wife always gets her presents from. Don't tell her. But yes, we're ready. I think we can celebrate. If you need more information, there's so many ways to find it. You can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the news that you need on our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasselblad.
We'll see you in the future, lovers.